You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
I think we came up with a poll question, correct, McLovin?
We did. Which one? Aaron Rodgers. I have another one more before Shaughnessy.
Okay.
If you could buy a ticket or have a ticket to one game, the opener, Cowboys at Bucks.
Okay.
Or the week four, Bucks at Patriots. Now, you're a neutral fan. You're not a Patriots fan. Mm. Which game is the must-go-to game?
If I'm a neutral fan?
Neutral fan, yeah. You're not a Patriots fan. You're not a Tom Brady fan.
I would go to the Cowboys-Buccaneers.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I would. Season opener, Cowboys, always interesting. I mean, the one with Brady in New England is personal, certainly for New England fans. But if you're not a Patriots fan or a Buccaneers fan, then I would think the Cowboys might be a little more interesting for you. Yes, Bowling.
I wonder, if you offered a Boston sports fan tickets to the Patriots hosting Tom Brady this upcoming season,
yeah,
or a couple tickets and a plane trip to the Super Bowl, I think that'd be a decision because you don't know who's in the Super Bowl. And you know the Patriots aren't.
So we're not even, we don't even know what's happening in the Super Bowl.
We're assuming the Patriots aren't in because they're not that great.
Oh, I would rather take the game against Brady.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's bring in Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe sports columnist. How big a deal is this with this regular season matchup, Brady coming to town?
Well, Dan, it's a bigger deal than you're making it since you're going to the Cowboys opener if you're neutral.
Yeah, but let's say I'm not a Patriot fan or a Brady fan. That's the season opener, pomp and circumstance. You got concerts, you got all kinds of things.
Yeah, I hear that. And again, I don't consider myself particularly provincial, but this thing, there's so much pathos here, so much, you know, history build up. As you say, it's personal. It's epic. I mean, you know, there's going to be arguments for both of these to be the greatest ever at what they did. And they were together 20 years. They went to 9 Super Bowls. They won 6 of them. I mean, yeah, the notion of him coming in there after winning the Super Bowl, after leaving with hard feelings in Foxborough with Bob Kraft there, schmoozing on the sideline and all the anger, you know, all the anger we have here in New England with the Patriot fans. It'll be a rare night, though, Dan. They'll be cheering no matter what because they love the Patriots and they love Tom Brady. So there's going to be a lot of cheering every time either one scores.
But we wondered yesterday if before the game, Brady gets it out of the way and acknowledges Bill or vice versa, because you know Robert Kraft is going to be on the sidelines and he's going to be hugging Tom.
Oh, yeah.
But
kissing him.
Okay, but what happens with Brady and Belichick either before or after the game?
There might be a ceremonial thing, not much more than that. And, I mean, Tom's kind of rubbed his face and he's been talking about it a year, how much fun this is. He gets to be the general manager. He gets Alex Guerrero back. They'll have Guerrero on a throne on the sideline. You know, all the hard feelings, all the things that went on here. You know, Bill saying, you know, he didn't exactly have heart surgery when he came back and played with a cut hand. And just the little subtle shots. And Bill's going to be, as soon as that game's over, Bill's going to be, we're on to Houston. You know, he will not talk about the emotion of coaching against Tom.
If you said to Belichick, you can schedule this game or not have this game, like it would be his decision, do you think the fact that you're hosting Brady, do you think that he would want this?
I think he'd rather not because of all the circus and the noise, the 5 months of buildup, the ticket prices, and the questions. He hates that. He hates all the ancillary stuff. If you want to talk to him, ask him about the Army-Navy game. He'll talk to you about that all day. He doesn't want to talk about the emotion of coaching against Tom Brady.
Do you think he cared if Brady won the Super Bowl?
Yes. Yes. I think legacies are important to all these guys. And I think that in a way, it made people that aren't paying close attention say, well, it was Brady all along. There you go. Now we know. And nobody wants to hear that when you have his track record. And he knows it's a stupid theory. It's a stupid takeaway. But casual people that love Tom, it's like, well, evidently, it was all the quarterback the whole time, which, of course, is ridiculous.
When the Patriots were in the Super Bowl against the Eagles, and I did an interview with Tom a couple of days prior, and I said, when this is all done, do you think you and Bill will ever sit down and, like, open up the scrapbook? And he looked at me like, that's the craziest question you could ask. He goes, no. And I went, and like, there wasn't anything further. It was like, no.
No, I believe that to be true. I think he's telling you the truth there. I think it was a great professional relationship with a lot of mutual respect. I think they grew apart as more and more people were poking him about who's getting the credit, who's getting the blame. And there were subtle shots all the time. I referenced that thing about Brady had his hand cut open the week of the playoff game and then got stitched up the day before. And there was all this noise about, oh, Tom, what a warrior. How could he have done that? And Bill says, it's not like he had open heart surgery. There were always little shots like that. And then Tom's been doing it like the whole time since he left about how, oh, it's fun here. Come on down. It's fun. They let you do what you want. You don't have to go through all this misery of winning that they did for 20 years. Anyway, yeah, it's very real, I believe.
Oh, my God. It's not like he had open heart surgery. If I would have given you Garoppolo or Mac Jones last month.
Ooh. That's a tough one. I'm kind of in on Garoppolo, and there's no learning curve there. He knows the system. You wouldn't have to be looking at Cam Newton, because Cam Newton's going to be the quarterback at the start of the season, and that's going to cause a lot more noise here, which Bill hates. Like, when are you going to go to the kid if things don't get off quickly? If you gave it to Garoppolo, you wouldn't have that. He knows the system. You could put him in there. Bill hates rookie quarterbacks. There's going to be a learning curve for Joe no matter what. But you don't know what the future of the kid's going to be. And there's a good chance that the next 10 years of the kid is better than the next 10 years of Garoppolo.
Yeah, I was just curious. And then you draft a Brady clone.
Yep.
You know, a quarterback who's embraced the comparison to Tom Brady. So I don't know if he... Like, is he afraid of the big spotlight here? Doesn't seem like it.
I don't think the quarterback is at all.
Yeah.
But Bill is afraid of putting a rookie quarterback into the fire right out of the gate, because he has taken advantage of rookie quarterbacks for 20 years.
But
he loves to play against them.
So if you were a betting man, does Mac Jones play at all this year?
Yes, I think he plays, but I think it's going to be. It depends on how bad Cam is, of course. The big issue is going to be if Cam's bad out of the gate. They get off 1-3, 2-2, whatever, and there's all this pressure to let the kid play. Bill hates to cave into that. But I think by the end of the year, I think that the idea is to transition to Jones for next year. So, yeah, you probably want to look at him at the end, but it depends on what's at stake, where they are in playoff positioning, all that sort of thing.
Before I let you go, the state of the Celtics here.
Oh, boy, it's funny you say that. I've got a call in with Danny Ainge. I'm talking to you instead of talking to Danny Ainge right now, because it's bad here, Dan. And they're a 500 team, which is unbelievable after 70 games. They have two left. They're going to be the seventh seed, and they're going to have to do the play-in round. This team was in the finals of the conference three of the last 4 years. They have two all-stars in Brown and Tatum. And there's excuses with COVID and injuries, but overall, it's been a very underachieving team that has been unlikable. They get way behind in games. Then they ratchet up their defense. Their shots start falling. They play hard. Very annoying team. Very un-Celtic-like. Not characteristic of what folks around here embrace. And they're behind the eight ball because they've been fat and happy for a lot of years. But Brad Stevens, this is 8 years in.
Yeah.
And we're not seeing it. It's going the wrong way.
Are you going to the Basketball Hall of Fame induction ceremony?
I wish I was. The answer is no. That's a great event.
Do you have a favorite story of any of those players? With Kobe or Duncan, Garnett?
Well, I mean, the favorite story, of course, is Duncan. Rick Pitino came here assuming he was getting Duncan. What was he thinking? I mean, Rick Pitino left a really good situation, came in here, took Red's name off the masthead, and, you know, had it all teed up for Tim Duncan, and he ends up with Mercer and Billups, who he traded in a month. I mean, he got 3-6 instead of one.
Uh-oh.
It was franchise altering for the next 25 years. So that's my Tim Duncan story.
If Duncan had gone to the Celtics, finish that statement.
I think that Pitino has a much longer career here. And I think that, you know, Pierce would have come in. They would have been good. They would have been good in the early part of the century, you know, instead of really bad and finding their way to 2008. With, of course, Garnett comes in and rescues him. But the years between 96 and 2008 would have been far more pleasant around here in basketball.
Is Ainge given enough credit to pull off the trade to bring in Garnett? That, like, Red Auerbach would do that all the time, it felt like. But, you know, Danny was – so his former teammate, Kevin McHale, is there, and they're basically saying, here, Danny, take a future Hall of Famer and go win a championship.
Well, it has the appearance of a bag job. And when I was a young guy covering that team, when Danny and Kevin and Larry were teammates, they would play cards. And Red would go by and say, Danny, isn't that against your religion? You can't play cards with those guys. And Danny would point to Larry and Kevin and say, Red, it's not gambling against these guys. And lo and behold, 20 years go by, and Kevin McHale gives him Kevin Garnett, gives him a championship. So, yeah, that one should have been investigated.
I'll let you get to your phone call with Danny Ainge. Good luck with that. Dan, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan.
That's Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Our good friend Peter Schrager from the Emmy-nominated Good Morning Football is going to join us. Are we in competition with Good Morning Football for the Sports Emmy, Paulie?
Technically.
Well.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, they're in the mix.
Okay.
Outstanding Daily Studio Show.
Maybe a side bet with Good Morning Football. We do their show, and then they do our show. Wait, well, what do you get if you win? Like, do you get to do the other show? Or does that sound like you lose and you have to do the other show? How about one of the Danettes has to be on Good Morning Football if we win? And then if Good Morning Football wins, then one of their... we already have their people on. No, they're not having any of you guys on, I don't think. McLovin?
I bid on.
As a football insider?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Man, they're just handing that title out to anybody.
No, I wasn't a football insider. I was more just a friend of the show, like 2 years ago.
All right. Let me bring in Peter Schrager. He is one of the co-hosts of the Emmy-nominated Good Morning Football that airs Monday through Friday at 7 Eastern on NFL Network. Is that the first nomination for the show?
We were nominated once before and did not win. I've been to that thing in a tuxedo and sat there while Wilbon and Kornheiser mailed it in, didn't even show up and got theirs. It's an honor that you guys know quite well to be nominated to show up and watch two individuals who don't go to the event get the award for the 6,000th time. So maybe one day we'll get PTI. And McLovin did come on the show and basically talked about Andy Dalton and our ratings went skyrocketed. It was awesome.
Well, you can still have him on while he still has a job in Chicago because I don't know how long you think it is before Justin Fields takes over in Chicago.
It's interesting because I think if Matt Nagy was about, you know, saving his career or trying to just last as long, the move is you start Dalton to like week 10 or 11, Fields comes in and then suddenly has this resurgent second half of the season. Like, well, you can't fire Nagy now. They just got started. But I go back to 2012, yeah, when I was covering the NFL for Fox and I showed up in Seattle for training camp and Matt Flynn had just signed his training, his free agent contract for huge money. And everyone was like, we love Flynn, but our third round pick is outplaying him every single day in practice and looks amazing. We can't not start this guy. And it was Russell Wilson. If Fields does that in training camp, I don't care what plan Nagy has with Mahomes and Alex Smith in his mind with Dalton. If Fields is the better quarterback, the players know, and you can't go into week one and say, yeah, but we have a plan. No. Fields is the guy. We'll see him on NBC with Alan Chris on the call, taking on the Rams week one.
Who should have drafted Justin Fields?
You know, it's funny because I think he ends up in the right place and he's going to have an opportunity to start and he'll be a hero because of the Big Ten connection and Chicago's always had this quarterback need. What was interesting to me was that teams passed on Justin Fields. Like, if he goes on to be great, will the Broncos regret taking a corner when they already have some great corners at 9 overall? Will the Panthers regret taking a corner? How about the Eagles? The Eagles had the 10th overall pick and Justin Fields is sitting there. Do we know if Jalen Hurts is very good? I don't know if Jalen Hurts is better than Justin Fields, and they took a wide receiver with the first pick when they traded back. So I find that to be interesting, that 8, 9, 10. And the Eagles kind of get a pass. It's like, all right, well, they traded back and they got a third round pick and they got Devontae Smith. I think if Justin Fields is a great quarterback, it's almost like when the Bears took Trubisky over Mahomes and Watson, everyone crushes the Bears for it. But you also know the 49ers took Solomon Thomas over Mahomes and Watson as well. So if you take a wide receiver and Justin Fields was on the board and he goes on to be what everyone hopes he can be, then I think that's a very interesting decision by Philly.
What is Deshaun Watson's trade value?
I don't think it's much right now, to be honest, Dan. I think everyone's waiting to see what happens here, and everyone's in wait-and-see mode. So,
but even a civil lawsuit or lawsuits that are settled, what's his trade value?
His trade value is they drafted a quarterback in the third round in Davis Mills, and they've got Tyrod Taylor. And if he's cleared of these things or he settles them and the NFL gives him a suspension for a few weeks and then he comes back and they welcome him back in open arms and he's willing to play for them, he's the Houston Texans quarterback. I don't think he has even 80% of the trade value he had back in February when these stories started coming out. And I could tell you that there was a lot of teams that were thinking, okay, well, let's at least put Deshaun Watson on the board and say, what would it take to get him? And those calls weren't answered by the Texans. Nick Caserio, the first year GM, was like, he's not on the block. We're going to work this out. It's going to be fine. And then this stuff blew up. And I don't know any team who wants to touch this right now. I don't, it's civil, non-civil, settled, not settled. It's not like he can't play quarterback anymore. I just don't think any other teams want that on their hands as this is all happening, as you said before the break.
Why is it that we always hear the Dolphins involved in, you know, possible trade talks or getting a quarterback, you know, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, you know, they've had Tua for a year and not even a full year. It just seems this is what I kept seeing with San Francisco with Jimmy Garoppolo. He's our guy. Meanwhile, we're trying to get Tom Brady. You know, we're trying to trade Garoppolo. Hey, anybody else that we can get here? It just feels kind of uncertain in Miami with Tua.
Yeah, look, the Niners, to finish that point, I mean, they did at least inquire about Aaron Rodgers the day before the draft, so it's not as if they don't have interest to go beyond Jimmy as a veteran or for the rookie, which they drafted. The Dolphins are interested because he went 6-3 last year. And you'd say, well, that's great for a rookie. But in the biggest moment in week 16, when they're playing in Las Vegas, he got benched, he got yanked. So when Flores comes out and says, I have the full confidence in him and he's our guy, you almost look at that with a side eye because in the biggest of moments, he didn't. You went to Ryan Fitzpatrick. They did not draft a quarterback.
They had the third overall pick. Sorry, this is a microphone. All right, they had the third
quarterback, and they traded back to 12, then up to 6, and took a wide receiver. To me, that's the utmost confidence in their quarterback. They showed that with their actions, and yet, if I was to wake up in August and you told me, "Oh wait, Deshaun Watson was traded to the Miami Dolphins," I wouldn't be shocked at all.
I don't know if you saw this report by Mike Florio. He said that he hears Aaron Rodgers believes he was promised a trade before the Packers changed their mind. The Packers said that unequivocally false. Not only that, but the Packers weren't even aware that Rodgers believed that he would be traded. It's tough to separate fact from fiction here, of wondering, because I haven't heard Aaron Rodgers say anything, but the coverage is bigger than the story itself, it feels like right now.
Yeah, and
Wait, hold on. You got to get your mic. See, our show was nominated for a Sports Emmy. That doesn't happen with my microphone.
But who takes the hit for this? He's on our show.
That should hurt. They should revote.
That's Good Morning Football equipment.
That's what that is.
Is this subterfuge?
Yeah. No. See? Is he... You know what Schrager's doing? He's sabotaging
He's
our
sabotaging
show.
Us.
He's tanking the segment.
Wow.
How's this?
There. Yeah. Are you back now? Are you happy with what you did?
Do you know how excited I am to come into your studio, the one down there in Tribeca or the one in Connecticut, and I'll sit on your lap. I'll hug you then. Like, I am so ready to be off this Zoom. I'm done with Zoom.
Of all the people on your show,
I'm the last one.
I don't know if I want you sitting on my lap.
I know. Get the Traeger grill ready. I'll just give you some food, whatever you want. Back to Rodgers. It's become a cottage industry now of like, I played with Rodgers at some point in my career. Let me get in here and weigh in and tell you that he's going to be happy. The truth is, we've all been hearing all offseason, anyone who is in my role, that he's unhappy. So the Packers can't say that they were blindsided by that. But then you get to the different degrees of it. Did they know he wanted to be traded? Did they make a promise to be traded? I don't know. I don't know that. I just knew this, that Rodgers has not refuted any reports out there, including the Jerry Krause one, including the Jake Comerow one, and including the one that he wants Goody to be fired. He has not come out and said anything. So the man who is most silent in this has been Rodgers, and the silence is deafening to me. It tells me that he's not refuting any of this. He's going to let it play out. He's going to let everyone talk and say what they want to say. But all those negative charges and all those things that were accusations, he hasn't refuted one and said, now, wait a second, that one's not true. And knowing Rodgers, he watches everything. He hears everything. I think he's aware of what the conversation is right now. And he's not out there batting his fist saying, no, wait a second, that was not right. That one wasn't right. To me, I know he's unhappy, and everyone just thinks because we're 2 weeks removed from the Schefter report that things like, you know, okay, the dust has settled, cooler heads will prevail. I don't know if that's true. I think Rodgers is still really upset with the Packers.
Who should trade for him?
I think Denver should trade for him. I think Denver should give the farm for him. They've got a really good young roster, and they've got a first-year GM. And if his big first swing is to get Aaron Rodgers, that's amazing. And I think the other team is, I think the Raiders should listen. I think the Raiders should really consider it. Derek Carr has been a good quarterback in this league, but they are opening a new stadium in Vegas. They've got a whole new feel, and I feel like, gosh, Rodgers in Vegas, like the Raiders become the most relevant team in the league. And I don't know what it would take draft pick-wise, but I'm of the belief, I look at like what Seattle did with Jamal Adams and what the Rams did with Jalen Ramsey and now what the Niners did. Draft picks to me, are they come and go. If you can get Aaron Rodgers, I would give him whatever they're asking for.
Yeah, but he's not closer to a Super Bowl in Denver. Like if I'm looking at this from Aaron Rodgers' perspective of you're not going to have control over the roster.
I don't think you get to pick. If you're the one being so upset under contract for 3 years and you've got this team that's gone 13-3 and you're so unhappy, I don't think you also get to pick where you end up.
No, I don't know. Because he can just say, look, I don't want to go there. I'm going to retire.
Okay.
Like I would
rather retire than wear another team's jersey. I mean, I look at it this way. He doesn't have a no trade clause. He doesn't have the same, like everyone's like, well, they wouldn't want to ruin relations with him on the way out. It's pretty ugly right now. And he's still there. And I look at Detroit. Stafford talked to the Lions. They were like, we're rebuilding. Let's make this work. Let's make you happy. We don't want to have a Calvin Johnson situation. Packers aren't looking to rebuild right now. If they had to trade Aaron Rodgers, I don't think they'd be letting him dictate where he goes.
Anybody apoplectic on the Tim Tebow situation there on Good Morning Football?
No, in fact, we've taken the other side of it. I think we're all like, relax, everybody. He's going to try out and it's fine. But I know it's become a much bigger debate on other shows and people are outraged by it. I can't get upset about it. We know what it is. Urban knows Tebow. He's going to bring him in. He's going to give his guy a shot. And if he makes it, good for Tim Tebow. He earned it. I don't know what to say otherwise. I mean, I don't cry for the undrafted tight end and his opportunity being wasted by Tebow. Tebow deserves a shot if he wants to play.
Do you know that the Cowboys used to draft players in other sports?
Oh yeah,
the Cowboys, they drafted Carl Lewis, they drafted Pat Riley. I mean, imagine if that happened now, how these shows would be up in arms. Can you believe they wasted a pick on a basketball player or a track guy?
Absolutely. And like Spurrier in 2002, when he came to Washington, didn't just bring one of his guys. He brought Jaquez Green. He brought Shane Matthews. He brought Danny Werfel. Like, this is nothing new. College coaches like having their familiar faces in there. This is the guy who's the extension of me. And even if Tebow shows up for training camp or a couple of weeks into training camp and sets the tone and here's what coach likes, like, he made an impact. I know there's greater issues at play, and people will say, well, that the opportunity cost of Tebow taking a roster spot there, I mean, someone else who's more worthy didn't get that opportunity. I'm sorry, that's the real world. And unfortunately, Urban Meyer gets to make the decisions. He's a private business in this case, and he can put whoever he wants on his team.
I hope you have a great weekend, Peter.
Oh, my God, I got worked up there by Tebow. You did it.
I know, I did. I kind of toyed. You toyed
good luck
with
the sports Emmy guys. I'm rooting for you.
Thank you, Peter.
One of us should win, right?
Thank you. We should. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you.
That's Peter Schrager. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. We've been talking about the Patriots game against the Buccaneers. That is by far and away the most expensive ticket right now in the secondary market, October 3rd, anywhere from $1,400 to $1,500 for the worst seats in the house. Next most expensive game, September 13th, the home opener for the Raiders, a Monday night game against Baltimore. The opener initially priced out at roughly $800 per get-in ticket in the first wave. I believe Guy Fieri is a Raiders fan. Not sure if he'll be there for the opener of that new stadium in Vegas. And Guy Fieri, the celebrity chef, host of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and a million other shows, joining us on the program. Guy, are you going to be there for the Raiders' home opener in Vegas?
I'm going to tell you what. You're going to have to pry me away from that place. I opened a restaurant there. Well, we built a restaurant inside of the stadium. We were so excited to open. And, you know, Guy Fieri's tailgate. And unfortunately, You know, we didn't have the exact season we wanted. So, yeah, we're going to be there. You know, my kid went to UNLV. I went to UNLV. So we're both proud to be, you know, Vegas, Raiders, all of it.
Is Vegas a good food town?
I'll tell you, DP, back in the day when I went to college there, it was who made the best buffet. You know, it was like buffets would go crazy. Sometimes there were big numbers. And you couldn't find a great restaurant at all. And now I think Vegas is a food destination. I mean, I think people go for gaming still and they go for concerts. But really one of the main focuses about Vegas is the food and beverage program.
If I gave you a sneaky pick, state-wise or city-wise, for great food.
If I gave you a pick?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a pick. Like a smaller town, city, where you go, man, that per capita, that one is off the chain, as you might say.
Wow. I really like how you throw that around. Okay. It's a big city. It's a big little city, I always say. Chicago. Chicago is one of my all-time faves. It just has so much culture. It's so diverse. It's old. You know, it's an old city. Not as recognized, I think, as New York and L.A. But I got to tell you something. Talk about amazing food. I was, however, just in Houston the other day. I went down there and I was hanging out with my buddy Bagwell, Jeff Bagwell. And he's what a character. You know him. And we were down there and I'm telling you, that Houston scene is blowing up with food. I was there 5 years ago and had Jeff on Triple D. And I went back and I thought, well, you know, I'll go back to some of the old places, whatever. It grew exponentially. So Houston's a great city. I mean, I listen, every time I go back to a city, I'm coming up your way, by the way, this
Len,
fall.
Len, you keep saying this.
No, I knew you were going to say that. So I have a bunch of, our president of Food Network lives up in your area. My agent, Jason Hodes, and Jeff Google live up in that area. I said, okay, listen, I've been saying it long enough. September, October, I'm coming up there. Right before it gets really cold and too cold for a California dude, it's going to happen. We will talk about this.
Okay. Toughest food to cook to get right?
One of the foods that's beat up the worst is just flat out chicken breast. You know, it gets that. That's kind of the simple one, but I see people overcook it all the time. It becomes dry, becomes terrible. Steak. You know, more times than not, steak gets abused. You know what it is? Things dry out faster than people anticipate. Nobody likes, there's two ways of cooking. Not two ways, but it's either hot and fast or low and slow. Put a fast sear on a steak and then finishing in the oven, or reverse searing it or sous viding it, where you really let the steak come up to temperature before you put a crust on it. But I see a lot of steaks get hammered, cooking it too much on one side, not on the other. But I think to answer the question, wild game is probably the most difficult for people to cook. Two reasons. One, it's super lean. Two, people don't have a lot of experience with it.
We have our Meat Fridays here, and
I want to come for Meat Friday. I want to be there for Meat Friday.
You know, we have Tyler who cooks, so I don't know if we would have you cook, guy. I mean,
I'm out. I'm not even in yet.
Not yet. We have deviled eggs today. I know you don't like eggs. Oh, I can see it from the look. Yes. Yeah, yes. I'm not a deviled eggs guy, but should we have rethought this?
Well, I personally don't feel that deviled eggs falls into your Meat Friday. I mean, I think that there's a lot of things that go into Meat Friday. I mean,
well, they sprinkled bacon on it and they had it on the grill. So technically,
I mean, I give points of creativity. There's no question about that. But I think that there's just so many other fantastic options. When you call something Meat Friday, I mean, that's kind of like drum roll and music and fanfare. I mean, I'm Chateaubriand. I'm skirt steak. I'm Argentinian. I'm some big beef ribs.
Well, something. We have pork on there. We have pork, but we also have broccoli with Parmesan on it.
Well, I mean, you know, there's sometimes just differences between the East Coast and the West Coast. Maybe on the East Coast, that's what, when you're rocking the Meat Friday.
No, it's not. It's not.
Broccoli and deviled
eggs. That our cameraman, who's health conscious, he made the suggestion. We don't want it, but we'll do it. But, you know,
Maybe throw that into Thursday then, Dan. Thursday, that sounds like a really nice Wednesday or Thursday menu. But Friday, we're going Meat Friday. Call me for Meat Friday next time. I'll send recipes. Matter of fact, I'll send you some. You know what you need is some big tomahawk chops. Or I've got a bunch of moose meat. I'll send you some moose meat. Make moose meat meatballs. That'd be a good choice.
Okay, but I want you to come in and cook. Is that rude, though, if I ask you to cook?
It's not rude. I take that as not only an invitation, but it's the gauntlet has been put down.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. Can we call it, if I make it there on a Wednesday, can we call it Meat Friday?
We can call it whatever you want. Yeah, we can call it whatever you want. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, so a good buddy of mine, and I've mentioned him a few times, he watches your show all the time, but someone had mentioned in a couple of posts that I have my Dan Patrick going in the background here with all the bobbleheads. My collection of goods. I got the Macho Man Savage in the back. I said, I take a good example. I know when the show is going the right way, you got to have the right display going, huh?
Look at what I've done. I'm very impressed, because last time we kind of mocked you when we were done with you, that it looked really lame. Like you cleaned up your shop there. I like that.
You mock me.
Yeah, we did.
I'm almost a couple more things and I'm not going to be able to see you. You are almost behind. You're going to be Wilson over the fence in a second.
But when I have Bobby Flay on, man, his background is awesome. Just letting you know. I mean, he kills it.
Just bring it. I think this is awesome. Well, I imagine Bobby, you know what? I think
could you take Bobby Flay?
Wouldn't agree with deviled eggs either.
Could you take Bobby Flay?
To the game,
fighting
to see the Raiders beat the Patriots.
No, like Vegas. let's say UFC, like you and Bobby Flay in the octagon.
Oh, I don't know. I know Bobby's pretty tough. I'll tell you what, Bobby is an amazing chef, an awesome restaurant, awesome restaurant owner. Great on TV. I mean, he's been doing this thing a lot longer than me. I don't know who I'd put my money on. You can't bait me into these, Dan.
I can't. Yeah, maybe if you get liquored up a little bit, then maybe I can.
That's probably what happens. We're smoking stars on our Meat Friday show. It'll be on a Tuesday when we're up there shooting Triple D. But you're going to come on Triple D with me. I think we have talked about this.
Yeah, I will.
And we're going to go do, I told you, tell me some of your favorite joints. You know, when my agent pitches me and says, hey, by the way, there's this pizza place up here. I'm not saying you have to go to it, but it is my kid's favorite. And I'm like, really? Why? I imagine I'll be coming up there shortly. But we need to. We haven't shot up in your area in quite a while.
But Paulie, I got that show with Giada that I'm doing.
For years.
I don't know if I'm going to have time to spend with a guy.
I would, as your friend and culinary consultant, I would absolutely take all the time you need to go on Giada's show and just call me and tell me next year when you're available for me. But I would go hang out with Giada before me any day.
By the way, you got cigars now that you're putting out? You got, are these Flavortown cigars?
They're going to be. Now, this is Flavortown Kitchen. This is my ghost kit virtual restaurant.
But you got a humidor over your left shoulder.
Oh, yeah. Now, there's one over there, too.
Oh, okay.
So I'm getting ready. My buddy Eric from Espinosa Cigars out of Miami, we're getting ready to come out with the Flavortown Guy Fieri cigars. So probably November, December is when we should launch them. But knowing that you're a cigar guy, I will make sure that you have one of the first boxes that come out. But we're going to do a nice selection. I'm a big Maduro guy, Torpedo, big ring gauge, but some nice lighter, you know. We'll have a good little selection of it.
Don't you have a sign back there that says that renowned egg hater behind you?
No, but I think that, you know, since everybody sends you something.
No, it's there.
Now we'll fire up. Now, that doesn't say we're not, no, just this Flavortown.
Oh, okay.
I will get an egg hater. I'll get an egg hater just for you.
Oh, okay.
I'll put one. Are you an egg lover?
Not a deviled eggs, but I'm okay with eggs. I'm okay. I love
Running
your face.
Yolk,
I love
it. Over the toast kind of guy?
Yeah, yeah. Butterfly toast. Yeah, I can do that. But I love when you're doing diners, drive-ins, and dives, and somebody brings out an egg, and just the look on your face is awesome.
Well, when I was on Jimmy's show, when I was on Jimmy Fallon, he knows that I don't like eggs. And we were having this little joke about it before the show. And so, of course, as we're talking about this, the next thing I know, middle show, he brings out a carton of eggs and puts it on the counter. And he said, I heard you don't like eggs. And, you know, what would it take for you to show? So chugging a couple raw eggs, no problem. But cracking a raw egg over easy on top of some toast, My wife will do it and just knows that it drives me crazy. It's just not, you know, it's not my jam. Do I use eggs? I cook with eggs all the time. That's, it's a necessity as a chef, but there's just certain ways and certain times.
All right. Let me know when you come up this way, and then I'll
bring- I need your picks. I need you to send me some recommendations. I know your whole team.
Yeah.
Your stable there of crazies. Come up with a list. Give me some ideas. I'd love to get some insight.
Okay. All right. That sounds great. Thanks for joining us, and always great to talk to you. That's Guy Fieri, celebrity chef, host of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.